You're listening to RPP 98.7 and it's 6 minutes past 10 and I'm sitting here with a full house again today with Your Story Counts. Hey, Jeff Nyson, how are you?
Hey, Nanette, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for coming down and helping me
out
today.
I'm lucky enough to be back again.
Yeah.
All because,
we had you back again.
Yeah, well, all because Simone's on holiday still. How terrible.
I know, she's in LA.
I know. Well, I'm hoping, looking outside, I'm hoping the weather here is better than it is there.
Yeah, exactly.
Just just trying to make our circumstances better than Simone, who is on a fabulous holiday.
I think you're right. Now, because, you know, and you're going to be swimming after this.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
But the water's going to be cold. Our lovely guests have told us that the water is frigidly freezing. So it's a love-hate relationship heading that way.
I tell you what, you have the life, don't you? You know, I mean, I know it would be better if it was for different reasons, but, you know.
Oh, well, you've got to take advantage of your circumstances, don't you? It can't all be bad.
No. No, so radio in the morning and then swim for lunch.
I'm disappointed I can't fit a coffee in between.
Yeah, but will you have a coffee afterwards?
I'll have a coffee afterwards. All right, that's a great suggestion.
You guys will be all chatting. Now, is there a bunch of you? Do you all go down? Is it down at the bay or is it over the other side?
Yeah, well, a heap of the school mums set up a group called the Stupid Cows. Stupid because they go swimming in the middle of winter.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I tacked onto that group and now I'm a stupid cow. Jump in the water when it's ridiculously cold and come out enjoying it, coming out refreshed and feeling good.
How many are there? How many stupid cows are there?
There's stupid cows everywhere.
In terms of swimming?
Oh, sorry. Look, there's about 10 of us. And but we don't get everybody there at once. Like the most we can get at any one time is five or six. But they're a great bunch of people and good fun to spend time with.
Hey, and can I ask, do you win?
Do I win? I'm the slowest.
Are you?
Yes. Like I took my son Riley swimming with me once and even he beats me now. But it's not how quick you get there. It's about enjoying it along the way, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know what you should do? Put flippers on and don't tell anyone.
I don't kick. When you swim, do you kick?
Yeah. Well, I try to.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
Like I've got like dead weights at the end of my body and they're called legs. I guess it's laziness. I find if I kick, then I've got to work a whole lot harder and it's not as enjoyable.
Hey, So what about that buoyant thing? You know when you have that little floaty thing you put between your legs, it makes it a lot easier.
Well, wetsuits. I wear a wetsuit.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So you already are cheating.
Yeah, that's it. I even wear a wetsuit in summer just so that I float easier.
Fantastic.
I don't want it to be too hot.
Now, did you get to the festival?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I went across to Phillip Island and sat on a beach somewhere with some friends and had a cold glass of wine and it was just spectacular. How about you? Did you go to the festival?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, it was Emily's 14th birthday. So we did the trampoline centre.
Oh, awesome.
You know, as you do. Been doing the trampoline centre for a few years
now. My kids love that place.
Yeah. Yeah, Gravy Zone. And then came back and then hung out at the festival with the music and the food and... Oh, it's just fantastic.
So much awesome energy.
And great weather.
Yes.
You know, I think all those people that did Round the Bay in a day the week before when it was blowing a gale were very jealous of Sunday when it was absolutely stunning.
I tell you what, those guys riding around, because I saw the wind and it was blowing an absolute gale. I felt sorry for them for a second and then thought, well, it's their own punishment, isn't it, really? Mm.
They're addicted. What can I say?
And then Melbourne Marathon was on the weekend too. I had a heap of friends do it. I'm just in awe of these guys who just set off running and get addicted to it.
Did they do 42? Or because there was all sorts, wasn't there? It was 5K walks, 10K runs.
I got two friends. They both did the 42. And
that's impressive.
They did an amazing job. So I wish I could do it, but I'm no good at running.
We could set something up.
We could, but we're always going to set something up. We were going to set something up for us riding.
Yeah. But what about a 10K?
10K?
Next year.
All right. Melbourne Marathon. We can practice for my festival. How's that? Because you got to do the 10K for my festival. Okay. You promised already.
All right. If you do it, I'll do it.
I'm busy that day.
Oh, that's right. You probably are, actually.
Organising.
Because everyone's there for you.
Well.
All right. Well, 10K next year.
Promise?
Yep.
Okay. It's recorded now.
You and I, it's on.
Giddy up. All right. Woo-hoo. I'm looking forward to it already.
Hey, we've got a great show. We have Nick and Yolande here, who are two wonderful life coaches who are joining us and telling their amazing story. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Cheers. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Now, you've chosen a song to get us started, which is one that all us chicks know, which is Landslide, Dixie Chicks. Any particular reason why you chose that song?
I'll answer that in that we've both chosen songs that represent our journey, that how we came together, and this is the very first song that Yolan effectively gave me. She would play it, and I would hear it when I came in to see her, and I knew that her old life was coming down, so just to stay the path.
This is a great one just before you're going out on a girl's night out, though, isn't it? So here we go. Let's have a listen. There we go. 98.7, Your Story Counts. And I'm sitting here with Jeff Nyson and two amazing women who are telling us their story today, Yolan and Nick. Now, we want to start, of course, as we do with Your Story Counts, a little bit about your childhood. Yolan, you grew up around Noble Park, is that right?
Springvale South.
There you go.
Yes. And I've got to correct my name. Because I have this thing about my name that my parents like instilled in me, but I can elaborate on that in a minute.
Okay, so childhood Springvale, like, was it a good childhood? Was it a challenging childhood? Like, I guess.
Yeah, no, it was a good.
Pretty free.
No. Look, I did have a lovely childhood in some aspects. As I grew up in Springvale South, it was a heavily populated Vietnamese area. Mm-hmm. But that was normal my whole life. It wasn't until I moved away that I remember thinking, where are all the Vietnamese people? Where are all the Asian people? Because I'd just grown up in that environment. Childhood was good. I spoke very early and was very much taught to speak up for myself. So, you know, one of my earliest memories was explaining my name to people, and I think at kindergarten or maybe it was primary school, you know, I went along to school and no one knew how to say my name, and they said, oh, do you have a nickname? I said, oh, no, I don't, you know, I don't think so. So I came home and I said to my parents, what's my nickname? And I'm telling this story because we were just chatting with Jeff before about my name. They said, no, you don't have a nickname. Your name is Yolan. You need to go back to school and say your name is Yolan. Yolan from Poland.
Right.
And I've just said that my entire life.
Yeah,
and it works. It rolls off the tongue.
Actually, it didn't work.
Hey, well, it works for some of
not
us.
Not with everyone.
If you knew classical jazz music, you'd be able to get it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I get that, but I understand that because with Nanette, you know, all my life, particularly when I was really little, can you imagine trying to say Nanette? Yeah, you know, when hard. You're 3 or 4.
Yes.
So, and my middle name was Louise. So Emily thinks this, my child thinks this is very funny because I used to say Nanette the Weaves. Yeah. Because I couldn't say Louise. So, you know, and my brothers thought that was kind of funny too. But yes, Annette, Lennette, it's really frustrating, isn't it? So whenever I introduce myself, I always say Nanette with the hope that maybe they'll get it first time round.
It's amazing what we set up for our kids, isn't it? Because I know that with my surname, Nyson, everybody says, how do you spell that? So I automatically say, hey, it's Jeff Nyson. That's NYSS for Sam, E-N.
Yeah, autopilot.
And people go, Nyfen, and that's why I've thrown in the SSEN. So, and now my kids are doing it too, and it's hilarious. They're going, no, Nyson, NYSSEN. It's a legacy we leave our kids.
Yeah. Do you think I could do that? So, you know, Nanette, Nanette, you know, every single time you introduce yourself. So tell me more. Tell me more. I want to hear about you guys.
So, from a childhood perspective, you said before, was it, what did you say, relaxing or free or something? And I think I laughed and went, no, not really. My childhood felt frustrating to me. You know, back to the name thing, I remember sitting in the kitchen with my mother, and my mother explaining my name to me over and over, nice and slowly. And I was just crying because I couldn't say my own name. That was frustrating. And I felt like I had so much to say and so much to do, but felt this sense of I couldn't get it out in enough time and, you know, people wouldn't really listen to what I had to say. So they're sort of my memories. Not that they're necessary. They felt probably felt shut down as a child, but now I sort of look back going, there was just so much in me that was desperate to come out. And
what ages are we talking?
When I say that, I'm thinking around 2.
Yeah, sure. Wow.
Like everything was, all this stuff was trying to come out this tiny little hole.
You know, right.
couldn't get enough out.
Yeah.
But other than that, look, you know, childhood was was quite good. I had my father in my ear all the time talking about positivity and things like, you know, he listened to Tony Robbins and was widely read and quite expansive in his own way. He'd talk to random people and come home with, you know, random stories and different stories about people, and people just fascinated me. So I always liked people, but I never could sort of really get it right. You know, as a kid, I'd talk to people and I'd just say inappropriate things or things I shouldn't say, and then I'd be a bit shocked when they would respond badly or, you know, get offended. I'm like, but that's the truth.
Can you tell she's slightly on the spectrum?
Yes, I am. Not officially diagnosed, but I'm totally sure that I am.
No red one required.
Yeah. Like, why would you grow that moustache or something? You don't know. I want to understand that.
I would say random things, you know, and then later on at school, you know, I'd say things to my friends and my friends would get quite offended because I'm like, but that's just, you ask for an honest answer. Or that's just the way, that's the way I see the world. So let me just, you know, I'm doing you a favor by explaining it like that.
So would you have called yourself an extrovert as a kid?
Oh, as an, yes, as a kid, definitely. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Just love people, loved animation, loved talking, loved sharing.
And loved honesty.
Yes.
Like frank honesty.
Yeah, well, absolutely, I'm laughing because I grew up with a mother that would, unless you were telling the absolute dead honest truth, you were lying.
Yeah, right.
So now I get how
rigid. And with mum that's tough, especially when you nick the lollies.
Yeah, I get how rigid that is now, but, yeah.
Okay. So if your mum said, you know, how many chocolate biscuits have you actually eaten out of the cupboard, you'd have to say.
See, no, or you'd just,
have to, you know what?
Should have just run away. just run away. Don't say anything at all. Yeah,
that's Jeff Nice's statement. And that's worked for you.
Well, you're not lying.
Jeff had a milk bar. His family had a milk bar. So you can imagine the
there's a lot of running away.
Yeah. I'll take the freckles and run. For sure. So, yeah, okay. So, and did you find yourself, what were your passions? Did you find yourself, you know, more in the arts, or did you find yourself, you know, more in the study side of things or more the sport?
Yeah. I loved talking. So any opportunity I could get to talk, I would talk. So at school, no, I wasn't very academic. I did a little bit of sport, but I certainly wouldn't classify myself as a sporty type. I was on, you know, school council and SRC and, you know, all these committees, and I was always getting up at assembly and talking. And I had quite a bad stutter when I was a child, and I remember my parents getting quite concerned for me, thinking, oh, you know, is this going to rock her confidence, or is this going to stop her talking? But no, I'd just get up at assembly and talk, and I'd stutter my way through the whole the whole talk. Yep. But it didn't seem to faze me, and my parents were like, jeepers, how can that not affect you? And I used to get a little bit upset at times, going, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm older. And my father's like, well, you're going to work in PR. It's like, you're just going to work with people and just talk. You know, you've got the gift of the gab. And so I just relied on hopefully one day I could just talk for a living.
And is that what happened? Did you find yourself in a PR? Did you find yourself in a PR role?
No. Yeah. I went into hospitality because I liked people. That just seemed a natural progression. And then I moved into, well, sort of coaching and mentoring within the hospitality space, and then training and then coaching.
Yeah,
just sort of all followed up a path.
I would have loved to have known you as a kid. It would have been hysterical. Can you imagine? You'd walk past your fence or something and you'd be there and you'd be like, right, what are we talking about today?
Good listener.
It'd be on. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You would have loved Europe, you know, where everyone talk. You know, you just sort of put your head out the door and there's someone there to natter with.
Yes.
You know, that kind of village life.
Well, I remember getting Barbies in like a, you know, an ice cream container, and that would be their pool, and I'd put some bubbles in so they'd all have a bubble bath together.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And then they would just all talk amongst each other.
They'd just natter.
Chat. Hilarious. Yeah, I could do that for
Yoland
hours.
And I would not have been friends together.
No. No. You would have looked the other way and go, woo, okay.
Oh. Yeah, she's doing what?
Yeah.
You can't get involved in that.
Yep. Lay low.
Yeah. So my childhood was the opposite. Practical parents who grew up in the country for the first 5 years up in northern Victoria. My parents were dairy farmers. Mm-hmm. And I think we were just they loved us, and we just were around. So we were very self-sufficient. I didn't talk much, I don't think. And there was no real need to talk. We just did stuff. So we would be in, you know, the cedar, where they have cedars. Our parents would put us in those. So quite a dangerous childhood when I look back on it to some degree. Do you know, it was just a practical childhood, and they'll be right. Rode motorbikes and did things like that until I came to the city. Well, city being Seaford in near Melbourne. And then I think I swapped from country life to sport, because sport's nice and simple. You win or you lose, and you can gradually improve.
It's a good social barrier breaker, isn't it, sport as well?
Yeah, it is, and you can win at it. So.
Yeah.
There was nothing social about it.
I was trying was to just, like, you know, broaden the horizon, but no.
Work hard and get a result.
Yeah, I won.
I don't care.
I'm a middle child. I have an older brother and a younger sister. So my life is about winning, I think. Winning attention. Now that I'm a coach, I can look back and go, that's what it was about. But so I did that in sport, and I love sport because sport was your own goal. You were your own goalpost. You could see when you were better, and that's what I focused on. It's funny listening and talking to Yolande these days, because we're just so, so diametrically opposed in our life and the way we're brought up. And I watch the way we parent the children together now. I've got four children between us.
Wow.
And Yolande's forever explaining stuff, and I'm like, stop explaining stuff to them.
Too many words.
Just don't give them what will they do? How will they know what to do? They will work it out by themselves. so they will make mistakes along the way, and they'll be better for it too.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. We've got two children by birth each, and it's interesting watching Yolande gradually explain things to the big two kids, which are mine by birth, and me stop everyone explaining things to the little two kids so that they're learning different things. So I love watching childhood through our kids now. It's like watching ourselves.
And are your kids sporty, or are they chatterboxes?
I've got a real mix.
Yeah.
So one really sporty one, one really chatty one, and then the other two are sort of a blend of blend of both.
Yeah, fantastic. So. And by the way, what sports were you into? What were your majors?
Our majors were basketball when I was younger, and then that went into tennis, and then that went into netball.
Okay.
So I could have been very good at sport. I was a bit too lazy, though.
That is the challenge, isn't it? Because, like, I look at sports people now, and it's they're not driven to sport by the fun, the inherent fun associated with it. They're driven because, as a person, they've got to make their bodies, their machines, absolutely elite. And that's where it becomes challenging to stay in there.
Yeah, correct. I only never mind my body. I just played to win. Yeah. And when I met my now ex-husband, we did a triathlon together, and he came in the middle of this 1,000 group of people. I'm like, why would you bother? And it was a very serious question that I was asking him. Why would you bother when you came in the middle? I had no comprehension of why you'd do that. And he was talking about the enjoyment of it, and I was like, wow, that's
a new concept.
I now understand that. Yeah. But it took me – he did very well to gradually train me to just show up to have fun.
So how does that translate to you guys now? Like, you know, I guess we've gone from highly competitive and social and articulate. What do you guys look like now?
We look like – the fire and the flood.
I'm not going to try and assume what that means. Can you tell us?
Well, where they
get it, Jeff.
It's
a girl thing.
Yeah.
Where there's two opposite people that just by chance, or I don't know if it's by chance or by divine intervention, who knows? But that our paths crossed one day, which maybe Nick can explain a little bit how that happened.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay. let's hold that one.
I'm getting the wind up.
Yeah. No, not at all. I was just—it's really cute—is that you sort of talked about fun, you know, and you've chosen a song here, which is, you know, "We Are Young," fun. What was that about?
Yeah, this is once again. It's another. I feel all the songs pretty much Yolande's given to me, and this is when I really felt like a teenager. So I was 40 when I was listening to this song, and I was like, oh. I think this is what most normal teenagers felt like. So Yolande really introduced me to teenagehood.
RPP 98.7. It is now 34 past 10, and you're listening to Your Story Counts as Jeff Nice and myself are chatting with Nick and Yorland. I nailed it that time.
Well done. Oh, she's been practicing. Easy. She's been going, Yorland.
So, yeah. Now, okay, so you guys obviously had very different childhoods and really expressed different personalities. But you found yourself meeting because you both became or were studying life coaching.
Yes, correct. So I had been working as a coach for a couple of years prior to the two of us meeting. And I had gotten into that because in my early 20s, I'd seen a coach. I'd moved to Sydney and I heard this woman speak and she was so captivating. I just went over there and went, oh, whatever you're doing, I need to be part of that. Mm-hmm. So she coached me on and off for a couple of years and it was just fundamental, just life-changing. So then after I had my children, I was a bit of a loose end, what am I going to do? And I rang her and she's like, Yorland, you've got to be a coach.
Mm.
And she'd said that to me over the years, but it was always, oh, I didn't feel I had enough runs on the board or I was old enough or there was just something that didn't. Mm-hmm. And at that time I went,
that's interesting.
Oh, that's it.
Mm.
So she actually mentored me for over, I don't know, maybe 9 months, quite intensive. And then I started my own coaching practice. But then it got to a point where I went, oh, I want a little bit more like formal education. Mm. So I came to a coaching school and that's where I met Nick.
I guess from the other side, my side, I went from high school into university and then into business. And I really wanted to make, I believed that business was a reflection of who I was. So business showed me who I was, which is very interesting to think of business in that light. So I was very keen to grow the business.
Mm-hmm.
That competitive side was still very strong there.
I'd come kick some goals.
Yeah, I'd been introduced to Tony Robbins in university by a friend. Mm-hmm. And that was the first I'd ever heard of anything just I'm quite naive and quite myopic sometimes all the time in my thinking. But once I was introduced to Tony Robbins, he was just an amazing individual. And I was actually in the room with him. I guess he wasn't as big as he is these days. And that just started my personal development journey. I went and started to read books and got sort of more in the internal competition.
Yeah. So Tony Robbins, where did you go and see him? Was that here in Australia or
it was in Melbourne.
Oh, he came to Melbourne.
There were only a couple hundred of us in the room. So just a really small room for Tony Robbins. He's a very, very big man. And
yes.
So that was just a life-changing start, I guess, into the personal development journey.
So what year was that?
That would have been about 19.
About 19. Yeah. Okay.
By the time I was 26, I was in business and had just started. I wasn't really sure where to go. I was jumping from job to job and I ended up trying business coaching, you know, because when you don't know about business, you may as well go and be a business coach, I thought. That way I'll learn about business. I know that sounds a bit bad, but anyway, so I started with Action International and Brad Sugar's there. I was playing a game and he was watching me play and I got through to the last round. It was a board game and he was watching the four of us play and I started off well and then started to lose and he watched me and at the end of the game he said, Nick, your mindset's limited. And that phrase has stayed with me forevermore and I could feel the truth of what he was saying. I just couldn't see how to shift it. So that started me on a very specific journey of how does my thinking limit me?
Mm-hmm.
And that led me to actually ending up getting a coach. And my second coach in particular, my first coach helped me get my business to the level that I wanted, but she told me I was in the wrong business. She was right. And the second coach just helped me to see myself and to gradually crack into how I felt. So it was a very, people talk about peeling the onion layer back for a highly logical person like I was.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very random, very intangible concept. That's what we do now is we show logical people. Well, we actually work with all different kinds, but in particular, my mission is to show logical people the power of accessing how they feel.
Mm.
And we give them a logical process to do that. So that's been that journey. And when I felt the difference, like it's just amazing going from being highly logical to actually noticing how you feel.
It's absolutely beautiful what you're saying. And certainly Jeff knows that in the clinic, I work with that a lot. And most of my clients actually are right brainers. So they're more the feelers and, you know what I mean, and the intuitives and the big thinker kind of, you know, expansive, you know, but they really struggle with the opposite, which is the logical and the structure and, you know, how you're going to go about, you know, actually grounding that idea.
Implementation and bringing it to fruition.
Yeah, and Jeff and I have great conversations because obviously I'm the real right brainer, but you've got a little bit more left, haven't you?
Yeah, well, and we've all got our strengths.
Do you remember the last time we had a coffee and you said, but Nan, if you actually write a list, you get the satisfaction of ticking it off yeah. and seeing that you've actually achieved, you know, something, whereas a right brainer just goes on to the next thing, on to the next thing. You know, wherever the emotion goes is where we go. Yes, so I can see how you two could work so brilliantly together.
Oh. Well, the thing about being extreme is when you're extreme on one way, if you just so if you're extreme to the left, if you just turn your head to the right, you're right at the extreme of the right. So everything's a circle, in my opinion. So Yolanda and I are extremes, but that puts us right next to
each
other.
Exactly where you need to be.
And that's the beautiful thing about coaches, because and I've found, like, when Annette, you know, lights up rooms for me, is you don't realize there's a dark room next to you unless you start looking that way. Correct. And you do need to have somebody there that that turns the light on for you and illuminates it so that you can become curious.
Yes, and well, yes, and I would say, so what I love is how can I get a process so that I can do that for myself? Because I'm someone who's always had to bounce off other people in order to experience myself, and it's very wearing for people around me to have to bounce off them to experience myself. So to learn to experience myself on that inner world, that's fun too. So, and that's how I met my lovely wife sitting next to me when I walked into the coaching room to learn how to start coaching myself, because it's such a good experience. I was, as soon as I had that shift, I was like, that's what I'm going to do. And when I stepped into the coaching room, I felt amazing within myself, and I looked across the room and I saw Yolanda and I was like, she looks like I feel. And wow, that was...
That's gorgeous. Because she looked good at the time, right?
She always looks good. But I felt that way. And so from then on, it was just it was literally, I guess, coming up with the song, A Thousand Years. It was like that had come to fruition.
You're listening to RPP 98.7. And I'm sitting here with a full house, Jeff Nyson, Nick and Yulin, and we are nattering about this incredible couple who have dedicated their lives to community and their family.
It's everything life coaching coming out. It's really, really interesting. I do have a question for you. And in some of what I've read about you guys, Yulin, chaotically teaching, Nick, coach. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, sure. So that song that we just listened to, that was a song I gave to Nick, because nothing about her and me made sense. We were just these opposite beings, and at times I'd said, oh, she's like this twin of mine that we'd been separated at birth, and I've got this pull, this magnetic pull back to her, and I couldn't explain why. And as the time has gone on, I've realized that we're these exact opposite beings, that together we can achieve more than what we ever could have alone. And so, as I was saying before, you know, I'd been coaching for a couple of years before we had met, but I would coach in this very chaotic manner. I loved working with people who had been to other therapies and they hadn't worked. So they would come to me with all sorts of, you know, sort of extreme stories and things that had happened, and they were trying to find a solution and an answer.
Is that like trying to reorganize their thoughts, or is it disrupt their thoughts?
That's both.
Yes,
so,
yes, both.
Yeah, right.
So both. If the logic is to come in, okay, go.
your question around how I've chaotically taught coaching. Nick was very interested in coaching, but hadn't done the coaching like I had done. And she would watch me coach, and she's like, "How do you move a client from point A to point B? Like, how do you do that?" And I had no answer for him. I just get in there and intuitively feel my way through, and then there's this massive insight at the end. So Nick was hell bent on learning but creating a structure around what it is that I did, so we could replicate.
And, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And that was. That was a hard slog, wasn't it? Trying to extract the chaos out of me.
It was a hard slog for Yoland. I had a lot of fun and I still do have a lot of fun. Because it was interesting. I'd experienced Yoland helping me to shift through some big blocks. And I noticed also that when she was coaching with clients, sometimes she was amazing and sometimes she was good. And I was like, if we found out a bit of a structure here, then you could be more consistently good more of the time. So I spent a couple of years, basically every time she came out of a coaching session, I would say, give me the 3-minute download of what you've done. And I would just sort of clock what she'd done in my own mind. And then when she went back in, I'd have ideas. Because I was so competitive and I knew how to get ahead in life, I would give her ideas of where to take the client. And then she'd come out and tell me what she'd done. And I was like, wow, like I know where you should go, but jeepers, that you could actually help the client to get there. So it was just mind-blowing to me that she could implement my idea so well. So we had a time when we decided that we'd start writing a book, and I think for me that was the turning point where I had to actually ground the ideas that I've been watching. So we started off with a writer overseas to help me ground my ideas, and he was like, I just gave him the chaos that Yoland had taught me, and he was like, I need some pointers. So that forced me to come back and go,
some bullet points.
Okay. I started asking myself the question, if I had to teach someone just one thing, what would it be? Like that I've learned through my personal development, because I'd done thousands and thousands of hours of personal development, but also through what Yoland has taught me. And Yoland just gave me paradigm shift after paradigm shift, because her thinking is so random that it's funny, it's not always good, but there's so much good in it. So I started to pick out the gold in the chaos and feed it back. And it's funny, we walk our talk, we live and breathe what we do. I love it. I love every single minute of it. Yolan has this...
I love it most of the time.
And when she doesn't love it, she hates it.
Well, that's where sport comes in. Because you can get out and that's your release. You find you go for a run or go for a walk or you get outdoors or you do something else and breaks it up, right?
Yeah, that's when Yulin actually asks Nick to go and do a sport.
That's when she wishes I still had my passion for sport.
Well, Nick can get very intense. As she said, we live and breathe this stuff all the time. Nick is constantly refining our stuff, expanding it. So at times I sometimes go, okay, like I need to talk fairy floss.
Yeah, I want fast pain-free shifts for people. And Yolan does all the pain. someone said that she felt like a lab rat. And it's not quite that bad, but like the intention is good. So I don't know, if the intention's good, does that make you a lab rat? I don't know. Oh. There's a question there. But anyway.
It's really interesting listening to you guys because you talk yin and yang, right? You've got Yoland bringing one perspective and Nick, you bring a whole other perspective. But the overarching feel that you get is that you complement more so than you're diametrically opposed, but you're complementing each other all the way.
Yeah, that's very
perceptive. Is that how it feels?
Yeah, it is. It's very perceptive. So on the surface, we look opposites, and I look like the more masculine of the two of us, because obviously we're a same-sex couple and I look like the masculine energy. But if you go just beneath the surface, Yoland is far more masculine than I am. And if you go the next level down, it's me. And if the next level down, so there's levels is the way I would describe it, and we flip. So that's how we complement.
Awesome. Yeah. Do you attract different kinds of clients, you two? Do you find, I guess, Nick, that you attract the more logical kind of, want to go hard or go home, I want to have that shift in that one session. And, Yulin, do you find that you have that sort of the softer kind of energies that are looking to release their emotional pain and be supported and nurtured and loved,
Yes, she's tougher than I am.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah, really.
I'm a lot tougher than Nick in the coaching room, and it's funny.
Wow.
People think that Nick's the tough one. So yeah. Nick's actually a lot softer and more gentle than me in the coaching room. Yeah. So Nick does work with intelligent, logical individuals, because she loves to bounce off their intelligence and their logic, but then sort of, turns their logic on them.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
In a nice kind of way.
Yeah, in a nice way. I suppose I do work with the more the feelers and the more intuitive, but then I ground them with the logic that Nick has assisted me.
Got it.
To have.
Yes.
Whereas before, I would probably keep them too high, mm-hmm. I guess, mm-hmm. And not be able to ground them well mm. enough.
And then mm-hmm. occasionally we flip the clients yes. across to the other.
Yes.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Because then... Yeah.
Do they know?
Yes, yes, oh, yes.
We tell, do yeah, they we turn tell up them. And go, whoa, I've got Nick today.
And that works really well. So we'll get to a certain point with the client and then we'll say, okay, can you have a session? And mm. we'll say that to the clients up front and they love it because it's a different perspective, a completely different energy. But we're both working from the same.
It feels as though you're getting something for free by having a whole new person as yeah, part of the package of awesomeness that comes.
Yes. And because we're constantly talking about our clients in the back end mm. all the time between the two of us. So when we step in into the coaching room with a client, we both know what
you're
that
way
client
of the game.
Yeah.
Got it.
So okay. Yeah, that's
and
really
do you run
powerful.
Seminars as well, you guys?
We do a variety of things, mainly one to one at the moment. Occasionally mm-hmm. we speak. And we run the odd seminar as well. So we mm-hmm. do a bit of a mix of everything at the moment. We've got the Connect group though and the Guys group, so
Mm. Yeah, so we run a monthly women's mentoring group, mm-hmm. and we've also just started a men's group
That's
as well.
That's fabulous.
A men's breakfast, which I'm very excited about. It's interesting how difficult it is to get the guys to step into the room. Mm. I have talked to a number of peers and they give me their honest mm. reasons as to why they don't step into the room because it's, you know, a bit confronting and they don't want to be seen to be, you know, all that sort of gooey stuff. There's just such power in stepping in and learning how to speak up for yourself, though. And yes. I've learned that guys don't like to be taught. So we provide the structure of that morning, which is very rigid structure, and the guys have to speak and listen within that structure. So watching guys learn to speak and listen is fun.
Jeff, is that true?
Doing two things at once? I can't do two things at once.
No, separately. Separately. Oh, so all good. Okay. It's all good.
I can come at that. So when do you hold them?
I've held them once a month. The details are on our website, www.inspiretribe.com.au. Apparently, I show my age if I say the three W's. And it's in Mornington at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And what sort of person are you trying to attract? Is it just any male that wants to improve or...?
Yes. So they may want to improve for themselves. They may run by my philosophy of happy wife, happy life. And if they run by that, anyone who runs by that philosophy, get in the room. Or they may want to take their business.
I think there's a few out there that will be listening to that.
I'm listening.
If they want to take their business to the next level, mm-hmm. it's all around speaking and listening. Mm-hmm. And if you start to speak and you start to know how you listen, then you start to understand yourself. So it's it's a trial and error approach, but guys really like it.
Yeah, for sure. Because most of us are really good at one thing and not so good at the other. Mm. Like I'm the extroverted type. I'm the Yolander in the relationship and Yoland in the relationship. And I was going to get in trouble there. Did you see the look that came across?
You're just like, I'm glad it was you, not me.
No, I'm the Yoland in the relationship where I talk. And, well, me specifically, not very good at listening. And I look at my kids now and, they need help learning how to listen as well. So I guess it's stuff that we learn as adults, we can teach our kids as well.
Correct. Mm. Correct. The more consciously you learn something, the better you can teach it. Unless you consciously understand it, it's actually very difficult to teach someone else. So that's what I love about what we do. It's very conscious work and then you can actually allow it to become unconscious.
I'm really glad that you've set that up for men because I'm finding in my clinic too that a lot of men are coming for sessions and they want to understand how they tick and they want to make their life and their relationship and be the best dad that they can be.
Mm. Yes.
But also I do feel that a lot of them are really struggling. I think there's so much pressure out there for the dads to be, you know, the provider. You know what I mean? Intuitive, you know, sensitive to their wife and their kids. I mean, they're really finding it tough. Whereas I guess in the past it was structured. This was my role. That was it.
Well,
they're really, they're doing it tough at the moment.
We love working with men because Nick has this whole, you know, unique perspective on.
Yeah, well, I have been a wife and now I am a wife to a wife, but I'm the more masculine energy. So I'm effectively the husband's role in the relationship. Mm. And jeepers, I had no idea how tough my ex-hubby had it and I have apologised to him and I will continue to do so until the day I die. Because women, jeepers, they're complex and they think that you should understand. Mm. And
I can say we just don't.
Correct.
Most of the time we just don't get it. It's like simple, just tell me the simple way and you thought you were telling me the simple way, but it's not simple.
And there's such joy. There's such joy in wanting to understand. So that's what I like to share with guys, is to give them the joy of the challenge of women. Mm. And it really is a joy when you let go of, they should be telling me. And yeah, so that's where the guys group comes in. Mm. It's the joy of learning to listen.
I think you just need to teach them telepathy and they'll be fine. Because the thoughts can change from 1 second to another.
I know,
you know that,
I would not want Yolen's thoughts in my head.
There'd be a lot.
Only the ones I've asked for.
Yeah, that's right. Very funny. Yeah, for sure. Well, there you go. So how can people get hold of you? Like, obviously, there'd be a lot of people out there that want to connect in, either with the breakfasts or the, you know, the sort of meetings that you have, but also the one-on-ones. How can they get hold of you?
Our website, inspiretribe.com.au, and our Facebook pages, Nick Hughes and Yolen Hughes.
Okay.
Best ways.
Fantastic.
How interesting has that been? Mm. Really, really
it's
entertaining,
been fun,
guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
really,
you.
Really
thank
enjoyed you. Learning about you guys. It's, yeah, thank you.
So if people want to connect in with Your Story Counts, all you have to do is jump on our Facebook page, RPPFM, Your Story Counts, and you can listen to this podcast again if you would like. And there's many more on there as well. Okay, well, thanks, guys. Love to have you in once the book has been written.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful.